Hello again, Victoria. Welcome to our second part of our energy policy statement. Here we will discuss nuclear safety, gas, and present our specific draft energy policies. While the Greens and renewables advocates never include nuclear in their idealistic narrative, nuclear power is now considered a safe, efficient and renewable power source with 96% of fuel and 75% of water cooling being recycled. Long-term treatment and storage of the tiny amount of true nuclear waste can now be safely and securely handled using modern systems on site. The reality is nuclear power can completely replace all less safe, less efficient and less climate-friendly sources faster and more efficiently for much longer than wind and solar. It requires zero backup and storage, does not need additional distribution systems, nor does it need renewables integration systems for the grid. While Australia is continuing to refuse to even talk about it, 37 countries around the world use nuclear in their electricity mix and/or have nuclear power stations being built as at 2023. A complete list is on our website, onevictoria.com.au. The elephant in the room, Chernobyl and Fukushima, the truth. We started this discussion by showing a chart which demonstrated how safe nuclear power generation is. It is worth noting that chart, shown on our website, included the consequences of the only two major nuclear power station accidents since nuclear power was invented. Chernobyl in 1986, caused primarily by Soviet incompetence, and Fukushima in 2011, caused directly by an unprecedented earthquake and tsunami. The death rate from coal, both mining and power generation and use, is some 1,200 times higher than both solar and nuclear. Those two accidents captured the imaginations and fears of a general public, fed by sensationalist press coverage. In fact, you would be forgiven for thinking more people died at the Fukushima plant than in the tsunami itself. The following are the most recent official analysis of the deaths caused by Chernobyl and Fukushima. These are the facts. Chernobyl 1986. Two workers died in the initial explosion. 28 workers died following the explosion from acute radiation syndrome because they were sent in with little protection. 19 survivors died in the 20 years after the accident from a variety of causes, and while it is impossible to say their deaths were caused by the accident, it is also impossible to say that they were not. Tragically, 15 people have died due to contaminated milk being subsequently fed to children. These deaths are considered to be more due to appalling Russian response to the accident than the accident itself. There have been no recorded deaths or illnesses due to wider-level, low-level exposure to communities across adjacent countries. Fukushima 2011. No one died on the day. One worker died from lung cancer as a result of radiation exposure, and that has been the only death from the actual accident. In 2016, the World Health Organization noted there had been no increases in cases of cancer or radiation-related illnesses in the general population. As a tragic aside, the Japanese government confirmed in 2020 that 2,314 people died as a direct result of trauma experienced in the panicked evacuation of settlements close to the power station. Remember, this was at a time when tens of thousands died as a result of the tsunami that swept through the region. The Japanese government shut down most of their nuclear power stations in response to concerns both local and abroad, but have since reopened them all and are planning more in the near future. The Federal Liberal Party has just recently begun to include nuclear power generation into their policy mix, but only as a supplement to renewables, wind, solar and battery. The fatal flaw in this approach is we will still need to fund massive expansion of a fundamentally inefficient and environmentally damaging power generation system, wind and solar, then replace the whole lot every 20 to 25 years, plus outrageously expensive backup batteries, which will need to be replaced every 15 years, plus the ridiculously expensive distribution network, as well as building nuclear reactors. Do we want to lead the world or just be another society struggling to keep the lights on? Gas is without doubt an essential service. Our government and the faceless people who advise them are content with a world where the elderly, very young, unwell and poor must decide if they can afford to heat and cool their home or buy food to eat. One Victoria believes it is the duty of any state government to ensure the security and cost-effective supply of this essential service to Victorian homes and businesses. Gas is also a fossil fuel which a responsible state government should include in plans to better manage our climate response. Victorians use natural gas for household heating, hot water and cooking. Industry uses natural gas as a host of applications. The hospitality industry uses natural gas for heating and cooking. The state uses natural gas via 8 gas-powered power stations to prop up our struggling electricity network of coal-fired power stations and the inefficient and ineffective renewables projects. These are facts of life. In spite of all this, this Labor state government have taken action against natural gas, driven by the extreme idealistic views of the left and the Greens, with no clue about how to replace it. They have banned new gas exploration. They have banned fracking. They have taken steps already to ban new household developments from being connected to the gas supplies from January 1, 2024. They have allowed some councils to move to ban residents from purchasing new gas appliances. All this while failing to provide a viable, reliable replacement. Prices have been driven higher because the gas producers cannot support their businesses with new gas fields or increased production from existing fields. They sell their gas on the international market at higher prices, and we must pay the same. In the event of blackouts, expected to increase as dependable supplies dwindle under this government's policies, families will depend even more on gas, even if they only use it for cooking, to heat food and water for their infants, and for their own hygiene. But the climate fanatics don't seem to care. One Victoria's energy policies. Number one, make nuclear a priority. Two pieces of legislation, the Australian Radiation Protection and Nuclear Safety Act 1998 and the Environment Protection and Biodiversity Conservation Act 1999, effectively ban any Australian government from investigating and moving forward with any type of nuclear power station. One Victoria calls upon the federal and all state and territory governments and opposition parties to work together to urgently rescind, cancel or amend these acts, as well as any state-based acts, as follows. Remove any and all barriers to the development, building and deployment of nuclear power stations, specifically the sections of the Australian Radiation Protection and Nuclear Safety Act 1998, other than those addressing the banning of nuclear enrichment activities that in any way create any possibility of future weapons development. Remove any and all environmental and other barriers to the approval processes for the development, building and deployment of nuclear power stations. Legislating to grant final absolute authority for approval to the elected state and territory executive branch of government. Number two, confirm the state government responsibility for electricity. One Victoria believes that the federal government does not have a constitutional role regarding the planning and implementation of electricity generation. We understand that sole sovereignty for this rests with the states. One Victoria will initiate an immediate High Court challenge seeking to clarify this constitutional position once and for all. Number 3. Stop renewable subsidies. A One Victoria majority government in 2026 will immediately cancel and withdraw all state-based incentive programs supporting wind, solar and battery technologies, and we will petition the federal government to do the same. We believe that every additional dollar we spend on these costly, inefficient, short-term and unreliable forms of energy generation is another dollar of public money wasted. Number 4. Cancel all new renewables plans. We will cancel all plans and permits for new commercial wind, solar and battery installations and implement a legislated program to completely remove existing installations at the end of their useful life at the cost of the owners, returning all such operations, wind farms, commercial solar plants and battery systems to their original state. If these systems cannot be viably relocated to remote communities or dismantled and recycled within Victoria, the owners will have to remove them totally from Victoria and dispose of them elsewhere within Australia or overseas. Number 5. Withdraw from the NEM, the National Electricity Market, NEM. Operating in New South Wales, the Australian Capital Territory, Queensland, South Australia, Victoria and Tasmania, the NEM is both a wholesale electricity market and the physical power system. The Australian Energy Market Operator also operates the retail electricity market that underpins the wholesale market. These organisations provide a semi-national umbrella under which the eastern and southern states agree to cooperate in the interests of price control and stable supply, and has been operating since 1998. One Victoria believes our state is disadvantaged by this arrangement. We generally use a little less than we produce within our state, and the excess is used to prop up New South Wales and other states who consistently use more than they produce. Once elected as majority government in 2026, we will remove Victoria from the NEM and the AEMO to control our own destiny and pursue lower priced energy for the future of our state. Number 6. Install clean, abundant nuclear power. A One Victoria majority government will move immediately to install a 21 gigawatt modern modular nuclear power station. This will generate more than 2 times Victoria's peak consumption and more than 4 times Victoria's average consumption. Provision will be made on-site for the addition of new reactors if required at any time over the next 100 years. We recognise the need to urgently plan for the long-term future of this state. One Victoria will achieve what Labor, the Greens and Liberal National Coalition have not been able to do: implement massive, safe, reliable and cheap baseline power supply that will completely replace Victoria's reliance on polluting fossil fuels, as well as unreliable and costly renewables, delivering an expected useful operating life of 100 years. This state-of-the-art power station will be built on 1 or 2 sites, possibly utilising the Hazelwood and Yallourn power station sites, to provide economies of scale over management and distribution infrastructure, which is already in place, security, as well as active and passive safety systems. The footprint will be a tiny fraction of the land and seaways needed to support unreliable renewables. It will utilise multiple 1 or 1.3 gigawatt traditional reactors in a modern modular configuration, allowing individual units to be brought on and offline as required. It will also enable a planned, scheduled deep maintenance and upgrade program without ever getting close to limiting supply. We plan to lead the world in building this power station and bringing its benefits to Victoria in quick time, learning from Japan and South Korea, who have shown that modern modular systems can be built in 4 to 5 years compared to 10 to 15 years taken by cumbersome, traditional, bureaucratic Western countries like the USA and UK. To achieve this, we will remove much of the bureaucracy that simply gets in the way, increases costs, lengthens build times unnecessarily, and has been put in place by successive governments more interested in blocking nuclear power for short-term political expedience rather than providing leadership for the long-term needs of the community. We will install enough capacity to cover all Victoria's current needs within 5 years, with the additional capacity to be installed over the following 5 years. One Victoria will achieve this without taking any shortcuts regarding safety. Processing and storage of the minimum amount of fuel waste will be handled within the site. Most fuel will be recycled through the reactors for many decades, following the latest international processes. The very small amount left will be stored deep underground in lead, steel and concrete capsules, concreted into chambers within a network of deep tunnels prepared beneath the site before construction of the power station above. One Victoria will seek cooperation and partnerships with one or more of the world's leading and proactive nuclear power generating countries: Japan, Canada, South Korea, France, USA and the UK. And we will seek to harness the renewed enthusiasm for nuclear power generation coming out of Finland and Sweden. We do not plan to reinvent the wheel. We will aim to purchase proven efficient modules together with the very latest active and passive safety systems available. We will explore with our partners the new technologies being developed, including the very promising molten salt cooled reactor design, which shows promising operational cost, effective and safety benefits. This will further minimise costs and installation times. Number 7. Becoming NEM and AEMO supplier again. Our strategic essential services power plan will provide for excess capacity to be made available to other states at a profit. We will do this by becoming a supplier to NEM and the AEMO. We will also begin planning for a new influx of high-power usage businesses to move into Victoria where we can guarantee secure power supply. Such industries could include large and small-scale metal smelting and fabrication, a new generation of plastics, glass and clothing synthetics recycling plants, and the potential for a revitalised manufacturing industry. Our initial focus will be to establish a big industry hub within the Latrobe Valley. Number 8. Cheap electricity. This power station will be wholly owned by the Victorian government and people. It will generate globally competitive cheap energy and will drive our economic development and population growth for the next 100 years. Your newly elected One Victoria majority government will move quickly to secure more electricity than we need through this proven large-scale, safe and zero-emissions technology. This will enable Victoria to sell excess to other states and to offer pricing advantage to existing large, medium and small businesses, as well as those we want to encourage to set up new operations in our state. We commit to supplying domestic electricity supply to Victoria's homes for half the price you are paying at the time when this new power station begins supply. Our longer-term intention is to supply all domestic electricity to Victoria's homes for free as soon as we are able to stabilise the state's debt left by the current government. Consumers will continue to pay for maintenance of the state's power distribution network, the poles and wires, etc. But part of our shutdown of renewables will be to cancel the creation of an all-new and obscenely expensive distribution network required by renewables being spread across the state. Number 9. Electric vehicles, EVs. Full EVs are fun to drive, dead silent, and increasingly attractive in the face of skyrocketing fuel pricing and government incentives. As usual, the current governments are encouraging and incentivising rapid adoption of EVs before our electricity grid can handle it and before the manufacturing industry can build them. One Victoria sees electric and hybrid vehicles as potentially dominating our roads and eventually reducing our transport emissions, But we understand that just wishing for something to happen will not achieve any real change. One Victoria will move to remedy the three missing links to a pollution-free roads network. EVs use a great deal of electricity. We believe a more realistic way to handle our long country distances and the relatively short range capabilities of EVs is to abandon trying to implement full charging capabilities along our country highways and to replace this with a new approach. As we ramp up our provision of abundant electricity supply, One Victoria will also ramp up availability of a fleet of traditional and long-range plug-in hybrid SUVs and sedans able to be rented at nominal cost by EV owners who can leave their cars at home when undertaking a long country trip. The greatest benefit of EVs is using them within our cities. When doing a road trip, hybrids are a great solution. This service will only be made available to existing EV owners and will provide real incentive to purchase a new EV. One Victoria believes this will result in a significant increase in EV uptake from 2031 on. Until then, the only remaining problem with EVs is the end-of-life disposal issue and short overall life. The batteries in full electric vehicles are integrated into the frame of the car. As the batteries degrade over an expected practical life of 10 to 15 years maximum, before rendering the entire car unviable, replacement is difficult and very expensive and impossible in some models, so likely to be unviable at that age, and disposal is a huge problem. While recycling EV batteries is theoretically possible, it will require excessive and highly energy-intensive processes that could potentially become practical within our plans to install large-scale baseload nuclear power. One Victoria will work with the industry and other governments in Australia and beyond to find a viable solution. Past governments should have ensured this was in place before offering taxpayer-funded incentives to try to boost EV uptake. We will not fully support EVs until this issue is resolved, hopefully by 2031. If we are elected as majority state government from 2026, we will remove all state-based incentives until this issue has been resolved. We will work with the federal government to do likewise. The third issue involves heavy transport, the trucks and vans. Electric engines with batteries will never provide a solution for these vehicles in the real world. In our draft policy for health, we set out a plan to tap into the brilliance and ingenuity of Victorians in developing unique solutions to age-old problems. We see another opportunity here. A new majority One Victoria government in 2026 will sponsor a Research Institute of Engineering Excellence and Innovation, inviting contributions from anyone with or without engineering qualifications in the pursuit of one goal initially: to design and bring to market a micro-nuclear-powered engine, fully sealed, fully fueled for a minimum 30-year life, fire and impact-proof, that can power our heavy transport and replace polluting diesel engines. The future of heavy transport will be emissions-free, carbon-free, safe, reliable and cost-effective, and Victoria will have an opportunity to drive that future forward in a realistic and practical way. Number 10, the brightest place on earth. In item 7 of our local government draft policy, we detailed a competition to encourage councils to focus on cleanliness and presentation, a development of the old tidy towns concept. As soon as power capacity has reached the correct level, we will add to this program to encourage creativity and enthusiasm with the use of LED and projected lighting effects, a bit like the Botanical Gardens Lightscapes program, but on a massive scale involving every community. One Victoria wants to make Victoria world-renowned as the brightest place on earth. Our cities and country towns, our avenues of majestic trees, our existing tourist locations, everywhere. We believe this will lift the spirits of all Victorians across all generations and create a new tourism point of difference, attracting more tourists from all over the globe. all powered by Victoria's commitment to massive, safe, dependable, 24/7 baseline nuclear-powered electricity. Number 11, gas. A new deal with the gas industry. One Victoria understands we must secure supply of natural gas as an essential service at reasonable prices for all Victorians. We will negotiate with the gas producers, offering to rescind all existing bans and restrictions on new gas field explorations, lift the blanket bans on fracking provided appropriate safety measures are taken, in return for continuing to supply our state's natural gas requirements at reduced pricing well below their international export pricing for the next 5 to 10 years. We will place an offer of 20 years freedom to explore and extract gas for their international markets on the negotiations table. At the end of 2031, once your new majority One Victoria government has delivered sufficient, clean, safe, dependable nuclear power generation to supply Victoria with everything needed by homes and businesses across the state, we will move quickly to shut down the 8 natural gas turbine power generators, transition away from our dependence on natural gas in the home, and work with the industry to do the same. On the subject of domestic and restaurant use of gas for cooking, One Victoria intends to continue to supply gas connections to existing and new dwellings, as well as restaurants and cafes, well beyond a planned transition from using gas for heating of water and the home. One thing not considered by anti-gas campaigners is the vital role gas plays as a fallback in the event of short-term power failures due to traffic accidents, transformer failures, or storm damage to the distribution network. Families with young infants, the sick, elderly and infirm simply cannot do without the ability to heat food and liquids for any period that lasts more than a couple of hours. While we support a move away from reliance on gas instead of electricity, we see the correct future design of kitchens incorporating an induction cooktop for everyday use, plus a single gas burner as part of or separate from this cooktop. Number 12. Becoming involved on the world energy stage. One Victoria plans to position Victoria as a global participant regarding an entirely better approach to energy, not only for the next several decades, but looking much further into the future. Part A. As mentioned before, our submission to the Australian Energy Market Operator and the CSIRO GenCost project positions us for further involvement in the future. Here is our submission. One Victoria would like to thank the CSIRO and AEMO for this opportunity to contribute to this important process. One Victoria believes that the massively costly commitments in pursuit of an entirely wind, solar, and battery electricity supply solution, as promoted by the federal government and accepted by the states and territories, if wrong, will have lasting impact on Australia's economic health, our competitiveness on the global stage, and the living standards of all Australians, especially here in Victoria. There are no examples of this strategy being successful anywhere in the entire world. Quite the contrary, Germany is a shining light on what governments should not be doing. They have spent $1 trillion on wind and solar and nothing on affordable storage. They have succumbed to the anti-nuclear push and closed all their nuclear power plants, which is contrary to most EU countries. Their energy prices have blown out and their emissions are much worse than when they started. Big industries are deserting the country and their economy is fracturing. There is even talk of plans to open new coal power stations. One Victoria believes that every single dollar we spend on the wrong solution is yet another dollar wasted, regardless of whether it is public money, directly affecting the level of state and federal debt, or private investment money requiring increasingly outrageous government subsidies and causing retail prices to explode to cover investor operational and financing costs as well as their return on their investment. We respectfully call upon the CSIRO in its role as the leading scientific advisor to Australian federal and state governments and the AEMO as the energy market operator to show courage in assessing the various methods of electricity generation with a new focus to ensure that their next gen cost report covers the whole of life assessment of each technology. This will set the policy direction for the next 100 years. 1. Prepare an analysis over a period of 100 years. This is the expected life of nuclear power stations and pumped hydro facilities, which have by far the longest life cycle. 2. Provide a full estimate of the likely replacement as well as complete dismantling and environmentally sensitive disposal costs of batteries every 15 years, small and large-scale solar installations every 20 to 25 years, land-based and offshore wind farms every 25 years, and nuclear and hydro systems at their expected 100-year end of life. 3. Include clear assumptions regarding expected CPI, distribution and grid enhancements required by renewables, and other factors including projected population and electricity demand growth, so comparisons are clear and unambiguous. 4. Provide a recommendation for a system that does not partially or wholly rely on consumers and businesses reducing their energy usage. Doing so will provide the impetus required for moves to transition from domestic gas-fired heating and hot water systems to fully electric, enhance incentives to move to fully electric cars, and drive continued sustainable growth in Australia's economy and our standard of living through the attraction of new high-energy usage, small, medium, and large businesses. 5. With regards to nuclear, use costings for proven large-scale modular reactors rather than future SMR designs that may not work. For example, use reactors such as the Westinghouse AP1000 or similar. 6. Include the environmental costs from birth to end of life for each technology, as well as the potential geopolitical ramifications of sourcing solutions from specific market-dominant regions. For example, solar panels built with coal-fired power or battery systems using rare earth materials in addition to high levels of dirty energy, all from China. 7. Include the cost of supporting and backing up renewables as proposed in the Renewable Energy Storage Roadmap. Number 8. Place a cost on the extraordinary use of public and private land and seaways required by renewables. 9. Utilise the best examples of experience from all over the world, not just one failed attempt to build untried technology in the USA. If Japan and South Korea can implement a new nuclear power station in 5 years, why can't we? Include recommendations for cutting unnecessary red tape. 10. Include the costs of management, the environmental effects, handling, and eventual safe disposal of waste products from each type of power generation. We hear a lot about the problems with nuclear waste in the press. The Australian government is still looking for a waste dump for the waste from their Lucas Heights location, but we are severely behind the times. The small amount of true nuclear waste after repeated recycling through the reactors is handled now by modern thinking countries by burying it underground in lead and steel tubes, further encased in concrete on the same site as the power station. Recently, on talkback radio station 3AW in Melbourne, a noted Australian professor of physics with nuclear industry experience said the true waste from powering all of Australia for a whole year would fit into a small van, while the hard waste from coal would fill the MCG to the top several times over. The toxic waste from wind and solar could be worse. 11. Please provide an overview assessment of the current government approach, which is a total reliance on renewable wind, solar and battery to completely replace coal and gas-fired energy generation, versus the opposition's strategy of adding unproven SMRs as a supplement to renewables and all that that means, versus One Victoria's plan of total nuclear generation, with removal of all current renewables installation at their end of life, thereby removing the need for continual replacement, undertaking new distribution wires and gantries, the obscenely expensive cost of battery and pumped hydro backup, the impact of renewables on the Australian landscape and environment, and the ultra-costly grid upgrades to cope with expansion of rooftop solar. 12. As advisers to government, we submit it is not the CSIRO's responsibility to consider the current legislative, bureaucratic, or any other incompetencies of our governments. If the issue is important enough, it is the CSIRO's job to publish and recommend the complete and best solution in the hope all governments will listen and take efficient action. 13. Given the assumed acceptance by the government and the AEMO and the CSIRO that we face a climate emergency, it makes sense that the next GenCost report should, at the very least, strongly recommend that the federal and state governments immediately abolish all legislative and unnecessary bureaucratic barriers to efficient assessment of and potential implementation of nuclear power stations in Victoria and Australia. This should include immediately amending as appropriate the Australian Radiation and Nuclear Safety Act 1998 and the Environment Protection and Biodiversity Conservation Act 1999. One Victoria believes including these measures in the next and subsequent GenCost reports will best serve the interests of the Australian community, Australia's competitiveness on the world stage, our ability to take back a globally leading role in climate mitigation and management, and the longer-term credibility of the CSIRO and the AEMO. Part B, the future. There are some 130 science, physics, engineering and design teams around the world, all working to push forward the concept of atomic fusion. Fusion is basically the system that drives our own sun and every star in the universe. Simplistically, it uses the universe's most abundant gas, hydrogen, to generate continuous, abundant energy that researchers believe has the potential to power the entire world safely, cheaply, and forever. Australia stands alone by not participating in or contributing to this work in any way. 2022 was a watershed moment in fusion research after many decades of work. An American team achieved a process that actually replicated the fusion process, generating more energy than was used to achieve it. The challenge now is to scale up to a system that can become commercially viable. Massive developments in computing power, the development of new engineering materials, and the exciting evolution of AI is accelerating development. One Victoria, once elected as majority government in 2026, will encourage the cream of our own physicists, scientists, engineers and designers to actively become involved in this global project, in the hope that fusion will eventually fully replace our nuclear fission reactors and all other methods of generating power. One Victoria, we place Victoria's needs for essential services first, every day, in every way, for all future generations. Your ideas are welcome. Please contact us. Let us know what you think and contribute to the development of our final energy policy. Send us an email at energy@onevictoria.com.au. Look for more policies on our website, onevictoria.com.au. Until then, goodbye, stay safe, keep well. Authorised by Kenneth Noonan, 1 Victoria, Suite 582, Waterman, Carabine Park, 44 Lakeview Drive, Scoresby, Victoria, 3179. Web, onevictoria.com.au. Mobile, 0421 484115. Email, kennethn@onevictoria.com.au.